Hi, welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, past and present on history.org. We're on location today with Behind the Scenes, where you will meet the people who work here. That's my job. I'm Lloyd Dobbins, and mostly I ask questions. This time I'm asking Bob Dorries, who is a trainer at Colonial Williamsburg, but he's something else that is more important at Christmas time. And what's that?
I am Karl Minnegerode.
I'm proud of you.
Who lit the first Christmas tree in Williamsburg in 1842.
Why?
Well, Professor Minnegerode was a new arrival in Williamsburg as the new professor of German and ancient languages at the College of William and Mary here, and took a room boarding at the home of Judge Nathaniel Beverly Tucker. Mm-hmm. We call that house the St. George Tucker House today. And on Christmas Eve of 1842, that first Christmas that Professor Minnegerode was here, he showed the Tucker children how the Germans decorate an evergreen tree at the holiday time.
I read an article in the Journal about him, about his first Christmas tree. That was probably one of the most popular developments in Williamsburg in those days. According to the article, the next year everybody had Christmas trees.
Right. It was a custom that was slow in coming to America, in English America. Germans and Dutch folk in certain places and certain colonies had perhaps lit a tree here and there, but in this British colony and Virginia, the state of Virginia, it was mid-19th century before the custom of the Christmas tree came about at all, and Minnegerode was apparently the first to actually bring the custom to Williamsburg itself. By the next Christmas, half the houses in Williamsburg apparently had Christmas trees as well. Judge Tucker himself lit one, and even today at the Tucker House, a Christmas tree has always been part of the tradition, although for Colonial Williamsburg as a whole, its Christmas trees are out of time and we don't use them in the historic area, but the Tucker House being the place where the first one was lit, there's always been a tree there.
You wrote an article about Christmas,
right,
in the colonies. Is that more in time or less in time? Is it authentic for Williamsburg, whatever you wrote?
The article is about how Christmas is in colonial times celebrated or not celebrated, okay, depending on where we're talking about. The Church of England colonies like Virginia and Georgia and the Carolinas, the Virginians celebrated Christmas. Church of England acknowledged it. Maryland, where there were a lot of Catholics, acknowledged Christmas, but certain colonies such as Pennsylvania, Delaware, New Jersey, much of New York, where there were a lot of Puritans or Presbyterians or Baptists, folks who whose denominations didn't acknowledge Christmas, Christmas was ignored pretty much just like any other day of the season. Stores stayed open. No church services were held. So it just depended on where you were in America as to whether you even had a Christmas celebration or not. New England, some of the New England colonies outlawed Christmas, as had been done in England during the Puritan time of Oliver Cromwell.
To get back to the Christmas tree, because if I don't, I will be punished. Nowadays, if you have a nice big house, you will have a 15, 16-foot tree, all decorated things.
Right.
Those days, they were tabletop trees, right?
Right.
Or have I read the wrong thing?
No, they were small, smaller trees. There's a famous, a well-known print of a Christmas tree that was lit by Queen Victoria and her German husband, Prince Albert, in the mid-19th century, and that print shows a tree maybe 3 or 4 feet tall with candles and other decorations, and Queen Victoria and Prince Albert and their children gathered around the tree. That print was so widely distributed and so popular that it did much to popularize the idea of having a Christmas tree, not only in England but in this country as well.
You've said lit a couple of times, and then you said candles on that tree. So let me go back. These are candle lit, right?
Candle lit, yes. Before the days of electricity or electrical lights, wax candles were wrapped in place with wire, fastened to the trees, to the branches with wires, and candies and toys might be placed on the branches, and then, as Professor Minigaroda says to the children in the Christmas account that we're presenting this Christmas at Colonial Williamsburg, we're careful when we decorate the tree to separate the branches and wrap the candles in place with wire. So, because there's much danger if one is careless with the live candles.
Going to say that would scare me to death. Obviously, from your pronunciation of his name and the lines you just gave, you are a German speaker.
Jawohl.
Good. Yeah. Now, Minigaroda, why did he come? Well, he was a professor of languages. Was he always a professor of languages? Because I got really curious reading about it.
No, he had actually studied law in Germany. He was a native of the city of Darmstadt and studied law at the University of Gießen, where he got in trouble. A friend of his named Georg Büchner, who was a playwright, decided to print and distribute a subversive pamphlet inciting the peasants of Hessen to revolt against their rulers. And Büchner and Minigaroda, his friend, were found with pamphlets in their possession. And so Büchner fled to Switzerland. Minigaroda spent 18 months in prison in Germany. And as soon as he was let out, made his way to Bremen in the north of Germany and hopped a ship to America. Lived in Philadelphia for a time, where he got a job teaching German, and it's there that he saw an article in a Philadelphia newspaper advertising this position at the college in Williamsburg for a German teacher and teacher of languages, ancient languages.
Was he, I think I remember this, was he ever rector at Bruton Parish?
Yes, he of course came to America as a Lutheran, and very shortly after his arrival, within the first couple of years after his arrival, he converted to become an Episcopalian and went to seminary and was ordained as a priest, worked at Bruton Parish Church for a short time. The college reorganized its faculty in, I think, 1848, and he left Williamsburg after only being here about 6 years, took a church across the James River at in Prince George County, Merchants Hope Church, which still stands, I believe. Went to Norfolk for a while as a priest. Ended up then in Richmond as minister, rector at St. Paul's Church, which is today even just adjacent to the state capitol building. So he was the minister there for 33 years during the Civil War and was the father confessor to Jefferson Davis. Preached on at least one Sunday during the war to 14 Confederate generals sitting in his pews in St. Paul's, and became then a chaplain at the Episcopal Seminary in Alexandria, where he met in 1890 Dr. Goodwin, the founder of Colonial Williamsburg, who was a young seminarian there.
Yeah, it's one of those peculiarities. Here is a man who did a little bit of everything you can imagine in life, including go to jail for 18
exactly.
months. But he's remembered for his Christmas tree. Doesn't sound right, does it?
It doesn't. It's a charming tale. It certainly is. And present this Christmas for the first time at the St. George Tucker House in our program called Christmastide at Home, the lighting of that first Christmas tree in Williamsburg. It's quite a very sentimental feeling to know that that has never been presented ever here at Williamsburg, and to be a part of this first reenactment of that lighting of the first Christmas tree in Williamsburg is really an honor and a thrill for those of us who are involved in it.
So this is not a traditional thing being done for the 157th time.
This is the first time ever that this event of Professor Minnegaroda lighting the tree at the Tucker House has ever been done.
That must be quite fun. Did you know it was going to be done?
It was sort of an accident that I found out that it was going to be done. I was participating in a Colonial Williamsburg television production, an electronic field trip not long ago, and fell to talking with one of the other participants, Kevin Ernst, who's in our evening programs division here. And Kevin mentioned that he had scripted and was planning to direct the story of the lighting of Williamsburg's first tree this Christmas, and I thought I might try out for the part, and I did, and we'll be portraying Minnegaroda starting on December 5th.
If you hadn't gotten the part, there's no justice in the story. Did you study him because you just liked him, or, I mean, you know everything about him?
Well, I started out with an interest in the Tucker family myself. Dennis Montgomery, the editor of our Colonial Williamsburg Journal, asked me to write an article about Judge Nathaniel Beverly Tucker, in whose home Minnegaroda lived at that time in 1842. Judge Tucker himself was a professor of law at the college and an interesting fellow in his own right. So in reading about Judge Tucker, I learned that Tucker, under the influence of Minnegaroda, had found an interest himself in German, and Minnegaroda had taught Tucker German in a period of about 6 months to such a degree that Tucker himself was able to publish a couple of translations of German plays in the Southern Literary Messenger, a literary magazine that was published in Richmond before the Civil War. So there was a close connection between Tucker, Minnegaroda, and another young man who was writing for the same magazine, Edgar Allan Poe. So it's an interesting trio all the way around.
That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present. Check history.org often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.